Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the morning to you, and welcome in on this Tuesday. We're Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Nats closer Sean Doolittle joins us at 11:45 today. About 1 hour after that at 12:55, we've got tickets that could be yours to see the Nats, and they've got plenty of home games coming up. Doubleheader to be played on Wednesday. 4 games, 3 days against Philadelphia. 7 games, 6 days in the division. With so much at stake.
Not good. They did not want to have last night get rained out. Understandably so. Because now it means you're going to have someone that's not currently on your big league roster probably make a start this week in this pivotal week. As you said, 7 games in 6 days. The math just is no longer on your side.
So, and they don't have starting pitching depth. They don't have a guy waiting in the wings that can give you a quality major league start.
So Joe Ross, who would be a likely candidate, threw Monday. That's yesterday. Threw 57 pitches. So he's not doing it on Wednesday. So they're in a bit of a quandary. They're not thrilled with having to do that. Understandable. Mother Nature doesn't really care about your pitching rotation. She does what she does. My hot take, you didn't like it? I'm going to say it anyway. It's 2019. Major League games should be played. Professional sporting events should always be played. Retractable roofs. Figure it out. We know too much. We've got too much money. We're too good. Figure out a way to get these games in on time. It screws people over.
Yeah, it's not even that I didn't like it necessarily. It just reminds me of when Sam Gray stood in front of my elementary school and said, if you elect me as your SEA president, I'll put a roof over that football field out there. And I'll put a vending machine in every classroom. Yeah, it sounds cool, but there's a couple of ballparks that have retractable roofs for a reason. They're really expensive. I guess they're practical, but in most markets, they're not used enough to justify the expense. I mean, you're talking about, I don't know, a dozen times a year where they would help you or something like that? Would it be ideal to have one? Sure. I would love to have a lot of things in my life that would make my life a little bit easier, but I got to justify the decision whether or not it's worth spending on, and I can't imagine. I'd rather the learners do some things like, I don't know, sign Anthony Rendon to worry about a tractable roof.
I think they're two different conversations. I think payroll is payroll. I think overhead, paying for managers, paying to retain assistant GMs, a retractable roof. Those are the kinds of things that are in separate budgets.
It's all coming from the same checkbook.
They got two different line items. You know, one's operating costs, you write off. The other's, salary. They got plenty of money. Retractable roof should happen tomorrow. They should start tomorrow putting that retractable roof. Put a plastic cover overhead. Game should be gotten. People shouldn't be waiting
Why not
around.
A big trash bag?
Let's start there. Let's start with something. People shouldn't be waiting around for 3+ hours and then boned because they can't come back to the box office the next day to get tickets for a Wednesday game.
Yeah, people are complaining about the rain delay again, and we can get into this at the bottom of the hour at 10:30. Rain's inconvenient. You know, rain's annoying. There are things that the Nats can do better, I'm sure. There are things that they do better than they did last year. We could talk about those, but I think that's happening in 30 ballparks around the country where if you get rained out or if inclement weather ruins your night, you're not going to be that happy when you leave. You're going to wish that things were done differently. But they really desperately were trying to get the game in. They waited 3 hours before calling the game for the reason that you mentioned. They're the home team. You try to give yourself the best advantage possible. You have to win as many of these games against Philadelphia as you can. You have no margin for error. It's not like you're 10 over 500 or in first place and you've got some wiggle room here. If you can avoid having Kyle MacGowan start a game in a few days.
You'd like to avoid that.
If you can avoid calling up some AAA starter to give you 3 1/3 innings of 5-hit, 4-run ball and a loss, you got to do that. And if that means that someone in Section 417 is a little bit angry because you're waiting 3 hours to try to start the game, sorry, I got 4 months to try to make you happier with a deep playoff run if I could turn my season around. I'll figure it out as I go, but we can get into that in a little bit. Big story of the day in DC sports is that the Pelicans are apparently sniffing around on a Bradley Beal trade. They are interested in trading for the Wizards' superstar shooting guard who just missed out on all NBA. They're not the only team apparently checking in on the All-Star. Ben Standig locally of NBCSportsWashington.com had this story. The Pelicans are the one team that we know of at this point. They, of course, have the fourth pick in the draft, which they are willing to trade by all accounts. Would you consider trading Bradley Beal for a package that included the number four pick?
I would not. It would have to blow my socks off, and I don't think there's a way for them to do it. The number four pick in this draft, you know, it just, to me, is not worth it. If I've somehow found a way to get number three, if I'm talking to the Knicks, now we can have that conversation. I can build around R.J. Barrett. I'm not building around, is it Kobe White? Is it Culver? Is it, somebody that's a nice piece that may have some upside? I mean, you never know. It's uncertain. But I am investigating trading Bradley Beal, who I love, by the way. He's done nothing wrong. All he's been is excellent, been a great citizen, improved every year in the league. I'd love to build around him. I also am not naive. Basically, I'm knocking on the salary cap door with just five players under contract next season before I start signing restricted free agents. I'm doomed for 4 years. I cannot win. I'm not going to waste my best asset where I can get the most, who's on a pretty affordable deal here for a couple seasons in terms of Beal, winning 35, 40 games. I'm not going to have him kill himself for me so that I can not really get better. I'm going to use every asset I can to get great. The way to get great is to get draft picks for the next several years. Give me multiple first-rounders while I'm wallowing in the muck and the mire down at the bottom of the NBA.
Yeah, he's not Anthony Davis, so you're not going to get a return of three young starters and three number ones, obviously. But if you use the parameters of Davis's trade, you'd like to think you could get multiple number ones and maybe an additional draft pick and a player for a guy like Bradley Beal, who has averaged over 22 points each of the last three seasons, who's coming off of a career year where he averaged 26 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and a steal and a half. The other good thing about Bradley Beal is after pretty much 4 straight seasons to begin his career where he was injury prone,
yes,
where he had all kinds of issues staying on the floor, he's missed 5 games the last 3 seasons. All 5 were in 16-17. Each of the last 2 years, he is tied for the league high with 82 games played. 164 games the Wizards have had, 164 games he's played in the last 2 seasons. And in fact, if you look at this past year, he averaged almost 37 minutes a game.
He was one of the minutes leaders, especially after John Wall got hurt.
He was the minutes leader.
Yeah.
36.9, I think, is a bold ink number on Basketball Reference. So he's an asset. I mean, he's a guy people want. I think this is an unpopular opinion with Wizards fans. You'd know better than I on the temperature of the diehards in the fan base, but I'm trading him this offseason. Now, I'm probably not trading him to New Orleans for a package around that number four pick. To be completely honest with you, I think I could do better. I like the idea of shipping him out to LA before they just gave away everything I would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take them off of the to-do list now. Maybe you wait and see what happens with Kevin Durant, with Kyrie Irving, with Kawhi Leonard, and you see where they end up and who wants to add a Robin to their Batman, so to speak. But I think for me, Danny, I don't go into the offseason with a sharpied plan. I'm writing everything in pencil. But what would be ideal for me, This is where I normally pretend like I'm the GM and I say Grant Ujiri, but since they don't have a GM, I guess I'll have to go with Grant Shepard.
Your interim GM, Grant Shepard.
Remember, they don't have a GM and the draft is in 2 days.
Draft's in 2 days. Future of the franchise for the next half decade or more, no GM.
I'm trading him this offseason, written in pencil.
Yeah.
I just got to get the best package back wherever that comes from. If it ends up being New Orleans, if they want to turn around and flip Lonzo, the number four pick and a future number one for Bradley Beal, that's something I could get involved with.
I've got
with.
A threshold that has to be met. So I'm not doing it because it's on my to-do list. This is not cleaning my gutters, right? This is not refurbishing a couch or taking the car in for some inspection. This is I've got an asset that's worth something. You have to meet my minimum bid on eBay here to get it. With all due respect, Brandon Ingram, the number four pick, and Etuan Moore, which is one of the things I've seen kicked around, that's not my minimum bid.
That's not enough.
Go about your business, New Orleans. Thank you very much for your call. I will let you know if our needs change.
Take out one of those names. How about Ingram and two number ones? Something like you give me another number one pick next year when potentially you haven't really turned a corner yet. You're just young and exciting, but you're still a lottery team.
Yeah, you fire me one of the Lakers number ones that you got. I mean, you've got to blow my socks off for this because, again, I'm with you. I think there's a little bit of patience, and there's going to be the iron will be the right temperature to strike at some point this offseason because some of the musical chairs are going to happen with Kevin Durant getting hurt and with Klay Thompson getting hurt. There are a few people that are going to be desperate once they don't land Durant in trade, once they don't land Kawhi Leonard, once they don't land Kyrie Irving. Somebody's going to have money. Somebody's going to have enough assets where they're going to trade you something. There's going to be an oh my God offer. My philosophy is I'm going to find that offer, and as soon as it's there, get it. Because you've got 2 years. I know it sounds outrageous to say 27 or 28 million respectively over the next couple of years is affordable, but by NBA standards, Bradley Beal, an all NBA caliber player, probably could have made 13 this year, for 27 million bucks is a bargain.
By the way, for years we've been talking about the young talent we have in D.C., or maybe not young talent as much as high-end, superstar-capable players. You look at from a few years ago, the conversations we were having. Robert Griffin, John Wall, Bradley Beal, trade rumors. Bryce Harper gone. Max Scherzer, trade rumors. Anthony Rendon could be gone. Oh, how things change pretty quickly. Let's open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines, 800-636-1067. Is it time for the Wizards to ship Bradley Beal out of D.C.? Should they put him on the trade block this offseason, or do you keep him and build around him with whoever your new-look front office is? Next, I want to explain why I think trading Bradley Beal is necessary and why I think it is very different than what the Nats are going through with Max Scherzer. We'll get to that on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Sean Doolittle is on the show at 11:45 today. 12:55, we're giving away Nats tickets. They've got a 7:05 first pitch tonight with the Phillies. They can get this one in. They would potentially be able to go into tomorrow's doubleheader with a little momentum if they play well tonight. 1:05, 7:05, split doubleheader. So you go to the first game, leave the ballpark, come back, go to the second game. If you want to do the old double dip. You ever done two games in one day?
I've done a double dip.
It is a lot of fun.
I've double dipped the chip. It's hard to explain, but that time in between games is actually super fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why it is, but it's kind of this rare treat. It's like camping out in the backyard. I'm just in my backyard, but I'm doing something unique.
Well, not only that, but now that we've got a couple of places you can actually go to and some cool sports bar scenes around the ballpark.
That's
whether
true.
You're going to the Big Stick and eating the Grand and Danny Burger, or our buddies that just opened up Walter's, the sports bar right across the street from out behind Nats Park.
Due south and the Salt Line. There's so many places to go.
Yeah, you could go all over the joint, get a nice meal. You got a couple hours, get back in the ballpark, watch a little BP, and you're ready for first pitch of game two. The question at hand, though, to start the show, in light of reports that came out last night, the Pelicans are apparently poking and prodding on Bradley Beal. They are talking to the Wizards about the possibility of a trade for the two guard, and they're not the only team doing so. Of course, the Wizards don't have a general manager of the future yet. They have an interim operator in Tommy Shepard, who apparently I would have to imagine is fielding those phone calls and getting them ready for the draft in 2 days. I said I would trade Beal this offseason, and to me, I think now is the time. I think you strike while the iron is hot. He's coming off of a career year. He's coming into his own. It's not that he can't replicate next season, but you're an injury or just something going not as well for him as last season, which was incredible as an all-star and a near all-NBA player. Away from getting less back for him, getting 80 cents on the dollar. I know a day ago I said I wouldn't have traded Max Scherzer, and I don't think the Nats should. And to me, here's the big difference with a star that you could trade or not trade when you can either keep them and get more production or get a bunch back for them.
Mm-hmm.
The Nats are pretty good. The Nats are close. Now, you can roll your eyes and point at their record and where they are in the standings if you want to, and that's fine. You're allowed to do that. But understand that this is a team that if the season started over again today, a lot of people in baseball would say, that's a team that might win 90 games and might win the division.
Still one of the division favorites, yeah.
Ideally, you don't miss Anthony Rendon for 15 games and Juan Soto on the injured list and have the Matt Adams injuries and the Ryan Zimmerman injuries, and we can go through everything that's gone wrong with their season. Their bullpen's also terrible, not because of health. Their back of the rotation hasn't been good enough, not because of health necessarily. But they're close, and with a decent offseason, you can pretty easily next year see them competing again for the playoffs. The Wizards are the opposite of that. Danny, they're nowhere near making the playoffs. And in fact, if you look at the odds, not that this is the end-all, be-all, but out of Vegas for the championship, for the NBA Finals, who's going to be the last team standing this coming year?
Triple digits to one.
They are the dead last worst-rated team. Now, there are others tied with them. But we're talking about the dregs of the league, like the Phoenix Suns and, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers without LeBron James. 100-1 chance to win the Finals. You can't have a worse shot than they have, according to the experts in Vegas. This is not the Nats. This is not a team that's on the brink. You're not trying to keep a band together because maybe you can get over the hump. You are in purgatory because of the John Wall contract and injury, essentially, for at least a year, maybe more. I'm dealing Beal, and I'm not thinking twice about it.
Absolutely. Context is what matters here. Context is what matters. The Nationals can retool some finishing around the edges. Core roster building is done. You would need, obviously, Anthony Rendon is a big variable, but bear with me. I assume he's around. But for the Nationals, you're talking about on a 25-man roster, players number 17 through 25. That's what needs upgrading, changing, and subbing out. For the Wizards, you need players 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 if Beal's your number one. And even that's not good enough to try to win a championship. They're not close. And I've banged this drum for years. This is the mismanagement of Ernie Grunfeld come to fruition where you're left with no options.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You just got me thinking about something. Can a team with Bradley Beal as its best player win a championship?
No.
Hold on, though. At any point in his career, if the trajectory he's on 2-3 years from now continues to spike, is the upside for him around where he is, where he is a fringe now, top 20 to 25 player in the NBA probably. Mm-hmm. People will say, well, he was 16th in terms of the votes you get for all NBA.
Right.
But that's specific to position a little bit. It's kind of quirky. I think you could find 20 guys in the association better than Brad Beal. But is this what he is ultimately? Because he's been around forever, but he's only 25.
Yep.
He's played now 7 seasons with the Wizards, which is crazy. Almost 500 games. He's only 25. There's plenty of prime seasons ahead of him. He was almost an 8-win share player this season for the Wizards in 82 games. Is there more there? Do you think there's ever a point where he could be the guy that the entire organization revolves around and you go win a title? Because I don't see that.
No, the answer's no. And it's no disrespect to him. There's only a handful of those guys alive. There's only a handful of those guys that have ever played, right?
But you feel good about him being the number two guy on a championship team, or do you still debate that maybe he's the third guy?
I'd honestly even debate that. It depends on the roster construction.
After
I could
this
say
past
that.
Year, I'll give him number two billing
because
on a
that's,
title team.
That's could he be somebody's Klay Thompson, and that's the second best player on a championship team? Yeah, I could see that, right? Because what he can do at both ends, that's doable, but it would depend obviously on role players and have to be perfect. But yes, that could absolutely be the case. He's best served as a third banana on a great team. But that's neither here nor there.
What's your first priority in trading him? I want two number one picks and a guy that could start for me right away back. That's kind of the package I'm looking for.
The guy that could start would be nice, honestly, but to me it's future assets. It's as many as I can stockpile. So there's another trade rumor. It's just not even a rumor. It's a hypothetical. Kicked around that the Celtics, trying to entice Kyrie Irving to come back or something, would trade for Beal. They'd give him this year's number 22. They've got Memphis's first-round pick next year. That's one of their prized assets, but what better usage of it, honestly, for Beal for a couple of years, very affordable. So now the Wizards would have their own lottery pick next year, Memphis's lottery pick next year, the Wizards' number 9 pick, Boston's number 22 pick. That's what I'm talking about. I need to build for 3 or 4 years from right now when my window starts to open up again. Once I'm out from Jan Mahimi's contract, once I've been able to grab some of my own restricted free agents and roster build a bit.
Let's go to Chad Rockville real quick. Chad, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Yes. Hey, so I agree and disagree. So I would say absolutely you got to trade Beal, but I'm not letting Tommy Shepard do it, and here's why. If that means you got to wait until after the draft to get a real GM. I think I wait because, look, we all know how it works in life. If you're the second-hand guy to anybody, then your track record goes along with the first-hand guy. Like, why isn't Tom Shepard saying, don't sign don't sign Mahimi to a huge contract?
But your voice isn't always heard. That's not your call. You can advise, and your words don't
listen,
get taken.
If I'm your best friend and I'm your second-hand guy and you're trying to draft Jan Vesely at number 6 overall, I tell you,
okay,
no, don't do that.
Are you a Caps fan by chance?
Not as much as the Wizards.
Okay, yeah. Well, they have a GM right now named Brian McClellan who just won him a Stanley Cup. Was fantastic. Might be one of the better GMs in hockey. He worked under George McPhee for 15 years. When they hired him, everybody said, you can't possibly hire this guy. He was in the room with George McPhee. They did it. Ted Leonsis did it. Everyone made fun of him for it, and they won a cup 2 seasons later.
Did he draft Jan Vesely?
No, but they did some things like trading for Marty Erat that are just as bad when they gave up Philip Forsberg, and rumor has it that he said don't do it, and they did it anyway. I'm not going to hold Shepard accountable for everything that happened under Ernie Grunfeld. Now, that said, would I like to do better than him? Of course I would. But the idea that because you worked under somebody means you shouldn't get a chance to be hired, I disagree with. And within the outfit here in D.C., Monumental Sports, at that building, we've got a recent example where it worked really, really well. So I'm kind of on his team, believe it or not, actually, that I would like to go outside of the organization, get a fresh set of eyes. But I'm also not going to say Tommy Shepard has no business getting the GM job because he was here under Ernie Grunfeld.
I would prefer... No business is a little too strong on the spectrum of no business versus, yeah, I'm delighted Tommy Shepard got the shot. I'm way closer to no business than I am the other side, but he may be a very qualified gentleman. It's hard not to be disappointed, though, if that's the end result.
Well, specifically when we heard 48 hours ago that they were going to make a strong push for Masai Ujiri. I mean, when that came out, it's the equivalent of hearing, you might have tickets to go see the Beatles. Actually... We don't have those tickets.
It's the Buttles, a cover band.
But we're going to give you these tickets to go see this crew of high schoolers who are doing really cool things in their garage.
Ugh.
All right, I guess I'll go to that. You didn't get to go to the Nats game last night or at least see any baseball if you did make the trip. They got rained out. Some horror stories from last evening have come out. Nats are doing better with rain delays, but they haven't quite figured it out yet. We'll get into that next on G&D here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
11 a.m., 25 minutes out. List was written of the best NFL coaches in football behind Bill Belichick. It's always good when you are so good at something that in order to do a list, you have to be excluded, and then they start the ranking after you.
I always remember SI used to do, who's the best athlete in the NFL? And they had to do besides Michael Vick. Like, besides this guy that's such a ridiculous athlete compared to everybody else, who's the best athlete in the league?
The ultimate compliment. Sean Doolittle, Nats closer, joins us today at 11:45. What's your question for Doolittle to get things started?
I want to know about rain delays and how much they suck for players. Okay. It's the worst. To get ready, you're amped up, and then you sit. He's already got to get amped up and sit anyway as the closer. He's just... doing weird doodles in the outfield, sunflower seeds, weird bits. Then he starts like doing his ropes and stuff in the seventh inning. But for players, rain delays are the pits because you just don't know. You want a decision one way or the other.
And I think maybe he could confirm this. If you're a reliever, the rain delay is probably easiest on you because he really doesn't have to start, as you said, getting ready to go into a game or do anything until several innings in anyway. It's almost like if you're hosting a post-game show.
Mm-hmm.
Really, until the sixth or seventh inning, you're just kind of relaxing and chilling, and then you got to start ramping up your prep. He's at the very end of the game. So it's not like at 6 o'clock he's in game mode yet. He normally is like getting ready in the bullpen, as you said, at probably, what, 9:30, 9:45? So I don't even know that yesterday his routine was thrown off, but for the average player, there's no doubt. I saw a picture, amateur photographer, Howie Kendrick took yesterday.
Yes, of course.
It's funny, we were at spring training, and Howie had this new camera he'd gotten, and he was just taking photos of all of his teammates and different people in the organization. And that was his whole shtick and gimmick at spring training was he would go around and just take pictures and then say, hey, I got a really good picture of you. Would you like to have it? And he's like, I could email it to you. Yeah, we'd love that. He's like, you're interviewing Carter Kipo. Okay, thank you. Like, let's do that.
He was like, he was in it. It was awesome. It was kind of cool because he was doing it, especially for the young kids that hadn't been up before, that weren't used to being interviewed by two fat idiots in the locker room at spring training.
Right.
So it was kind of a neat thing.
He's just an awesome guy. But I bring that up to say that he took a picture during the rain delay yesterday of Adam Eaton and looked like he and Michael Taylor were watching film in some random room at Nats Park. And behind them on the board on the Instagram that Eaton posted was like all the pitchers who were listed for the Phillies. And what I gathered was it's a room where they sit and they can kind of look at, okay, who are the lefties in the bullpen? Who are the righties in the bullpen? Says what inning they're projected to pitch in. And so they're sitting there studying the film of their opponent that night. And I'm in game, I've seen players do this before. You come down, team's batting, let's say the sixth inning, for relievers up, warming up, you can run into that little room and you could take a peek at his last couple of appearances, see what he throws, see what he starts at bats with, get all the analytics you want on those guys. They were sitting in that room, I'm guessing during the rain delay, for like a cram session. But it also looked like it was a little bit of a shtick circle where they were just kind of hanging out like, you got to be kidding me.
One part cram, two part shtick.
They meant to get a lot done, but they were kind of cutting up and having fun. But it's like, how much work can we do when we know we're not going to play tonight? And that's the other big question. So let's get into that. So the Nats were supposed to have thrown the first pitch last night at 7:05. The game got called right at around 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on set, so it might have been even before that, maybe like between 9:50 and 10.
It was right around 10.
And they said, hey, Nats game got banged. They're going to have a doubleheader on Wednesday. There were fans sitting around for a couple hours waiting to figure this out. Now, this is not ideal. I'm not telling you that I don't feel bad for you. I do. I don't really have a better option. It was a weird night where at times it looked fine at Nats Park and it wasn't raining. But if you looked over at like Audi Field or in some of the areas in the neighborhoods around here, it was awful. I was in Bethesda, and three or four times we had driving, just brutal, sideways Forrest Gump rain. It was just a weird night in the area.
Yeah, super loud thunder. And by the way, I think we're in store for more this evening, too. So this could be even more of a shebangus. But the ridiculous thunder, lightning, but then no precipitation for a while. The thing that Major League teams, the Nationals are not exclusive to this, they hate doing more than anything, is starting the game and stopping it. They can't handle that. There were windows where multiple innings could have been played last night, as you touched on. If, given the gaps in the radar, you could have gotten through three innings, four innings, or, you know, then been delayed, et cetera. They hate doing that so much.
Do you fault them for that?
No, not at all. They hate doing that, and that's understandable.
They should. I'm not burning Patrick Corbin for two innings in a must-have game against the Phillies so that I can play for 45 minutes and then sit around for 2 hours.
That's the part that is going to frustrate fans. That's the thing that you're at odds. That's the thing you can't account for. That's the thing where you go, if you buy a ticket, you're at risk for this. And I'm sorry that it sucks, but it does. It just sucks. You just get the raw deal that night. Where the worst permutation of that, though, Grant, was a couple years ago, we off-referenced this, that game against the Braves where the Nats bullpen is in shambles. By the way, this is a story from 2 years ago, not right now. 2 years ago, the Nats bullpen's in shambles. Gio Gonzalez is supposed to start. It never rains. No precipitation ever happens. They delayed 3 hours and then finally banged the game. And the Braves were livid, and understandably so, because it never rained. I know what the radar said it was going to do. It didn't happen.
Did it rain at the end? I thought it rained at the end of the 3 hours. Why would they bang the game if it didn't start raining? It had to have rained at some point.
I don't think it ever rained. I think that was the whole story. It was that this was a non-rain. The Cubs pulled the same crap against Milwaukee.
I remember the delay was without rain for a long time. Maybe you're right. It just would seem weird
right.
if they would eventually PPD it.
I think somehow 3 hours passed where there was nothing, and
right.
We could have gotten the game.
The game could have been played, and then it was too late, and then it rained or something?
And then it rained. Maybe something like that. So maybe I misremembered. But the point is, that's the worst that can be. With that, we're so scared to start and stop that we never start, and oh my God, we could have played the whole game and gotten through it. And that's you can never make that up to people.
I'm looking up the weather right now for tonight, and you're all over it. It looks brutal.
Yeah.
Again. So up until about 3 o'clock, there's very little chance of rain, about between 0 and 20% off and on. 4 o'clock during batting practice, about 35%, which frankly, even though it sounds bad, a third of the time it'll rain, I'll take that. As of 6 o'clock when the teams are going to be getting their work in, jogging around and on the field ready to go. 70% chance of rain. First pitch tonight at 7:05. 75% chance of thunderstorms. 8 o'clock, 70%. 9 o'clock, 65%. 10 o'clock, 70%. There's your window for the game. Through 1 a.m., that's when it drops back down to about 50%. There's at least half of a chance of rain. And it's not just rain. It looks like thunderstorms throughout the entire night until midnight. So they could get another game pushed back. They wouldn't then do two doubleheaders in a row on a travel day on a Thursday. They would have to make up another game.
Somebody's
with the
coming
Phillies.
Back again. Yeah. Ugh.
The Phillies have to be here again, I'm guessing.
Anyway, yeah, they are.
Just because it's a division foe and that's what happens. This is only their second trip here. So the final series at Nats Park with the Phillies, you'd probably tack on a second game and a doubleheader again then. But yeah, fans were upset last night. They were bothered, and I don't have a good answer, but I'd be curious to hear from people that were at the ballpark last night as to the experience. Did they do a better job updating you on what was going on the screen as they vowed to do? I know on social media, they do a much better job now with more regular updates. They have kind of their, what they call like our weather promise or whatever to fans. Mm-hmm. And here's an update.
Curly W promise, whatever it is. Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
I think it is. I get all the different catchphrases confused, honestly. Because remember, there were horror stories back in 2013 when they had this draconian ticket policy. They've improved that. 2017 was probably the low point with their weather stuff. So my question in general is, are the Nats doing it right now? Are they getting it right? Are they getting delays, ticket refunds, making it easy for you, the customer, to want to and able to come back?
800-636-1067 is the number on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. We'll talk NFL head coaches at 11. We're Grant and Danny. Your thoughts, your calls, Nats fans, on the experience in the rain last night. You're on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At 11:18 on Grant and Danny, there was a story written about the biggest position upgrades in football. The Redskins safety spot made the cut. What position have they downgraded the most at this offseason? We'll discuss Sean Doolittle in 1 hour right here on The Fan. We're discussing the Nats game that was not last night against the Phillies. Should have been the first of four important games in the division. Instead, 7:05 tonight, weather permitting, they will get their series underway with Philadelphia. Although there are thunderstorms being called for tonight, again, downtown in D.C. You asked as we stepped aside, have the Nats gotten this right? Have they fixed the issues, basically? And as a fan, when you go to the ballpark, like so many of you sat through nearly 3 hours of rain delay last night, have they done a better job by you? And I think the answer to those questions is someone who sat through the rain delays years ago and now this year has mm-hmm. been to them. They do a better job. And I'd be curious to get calls like you would at 800-636-1067 on this. I think they put more updates up on the scoreboard. It's not constant, but there are more of them. I think they do a better job specifically on social media. They knew they had an issue. They're working on it. But when you say, you know, have they fixed the problem? Have they? Do they do it right? I don't think there is a right.
Well, what
I
mean
think there's
is,
a way to fix it.
Sure. Every you can't fix team, the weather.
It's not even the weather per se. It's just this is one of those things that's never going to be perfect. And there are little things they need to continue to do. Like, you brought something to my attention this morning about the fact that if you left the ballpark last night, and when you leave and you're trying to exchange tickets, it's raining out, and everyone's in line, and the line's too long, and it's 10 o'clock, and you can't stand there and do that. So you go home, and you hop online to try to exchange your tickets. Well, based on what someone told you, you can't do an online exchange for 3 days, essentially, 72 hours.
Right.
The makeup game is 48 hours away on Wednesday. Well, the math doesn't work there. So that, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense, whereas now I've got to get out of work, leave the office, drive to Nats Park at some point to do my exchange at the box office. Not ideal. Those types of quick fixes, I'd like to see them continue to tinker with. But I think, by and large, they're fighting an uphill battle. There's always going to be complaints.
Sure.
There's always going to be people that are upset. Their number one decision has to be, how do we best make sure that we play 9 innings tonight with our starting pitcher unimpeded? And I think that's got to be the number one priority.
Agreed. I think when I say do it right, I mean, is this the best it can be, right? Are we maxed out? You're absolutely right that there are always going to be complaints. If you pay for a ticket, not everyone gets to go to every game. People with season tickets are, you know, making fun of a lot of consumers here. But if it's your special night, right, you're here or your buddy's in town and you're going to a Phillies game because he's from Philly, that's the game you're going to. If you get rained out, it stinks. Like, it's unfortunate. It's annoying. So if you're not a season ticket holder that's just flashing your pass and going to 81 home dates, if you've got, you know, a special occasion, like, I'll give you an example. My son's Little League team was going last Thursday. If that got rained out, there's no makeup date for that. There's no other time that we get to go to those. We get everyone together with babysitters and a million things that it took man hours to get that group of nine kids together. We're never going again. And if we're rained out, you're screwed. Some of that's inevitable. Some of that you can't prevent. And I'll always understand that. There are going to be people that get mad about that. I'm talking about, can you make it as seamless and easy and simple as possible? And the story that my buddy told was, you got 48 hours or you can't do an online exchange less than 72 hours from the game in question for some reason. I'm sure it's some sort of scam warning or, you know, resale warning. I don't know why, but that's the policy. Well, the only way to do that then is to wait in a line while it's raining and thunderstorming outside for God knows how long. And according to him, no stadium employee even presented that as an option.
Well, it was 9:50, by the way, when you found out. So you're getting in that line at 10, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's when the game was banged, was postponed. So, I mean, you wouldn't even have your new tickets, I wouldn't think, for close to 11 p.m. last night. Dennis is in Clifton. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Okay, I work at the park. But before we talk about Washington, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I went to Citi Field to see a game. We got there at 7. It wasn't even raining. The scoreboard said that's a rain delay. They will let us know at 8 o'clock. They'll give us an update. We left at 9:15. The scoreboard still said, we will let you know at 8 o'clock.
Right.
We'll turn back time like Cher.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point, Dennis, right. And I'm going to keep you on the line here. But people make it out like the Nats do such an awful job with rain delays. And maybe they do. I can't speak to how bad of a job they do because I'm not in every other ballpark. But having been to other ballparks for rain delays, it's not any different in my opinion. And people act like it is.
Well, obviously you can't predict what's going on. And, you know, people ask us all the time, when's the game going to start? We don't know. What they've been doing this year is they're showing up on the scoreboard. They're showing the weather. They're showing what's coming along so people at least have an idea of what's going on.
That's cool.
So yeah, I think that's pretty cool. In the past, it's like, you know, what's going to happen and no one knew.
Right. Now you got to be Doug Cameron to use your meteorologist degree to be able to read the thing to see. But no, I think if they show that, that's probably better than nothing, that you can see, hey, there's rain in the area. Why aren't we playing? There's no rain. Oh, I see that big
green thing.
It's
that giant green blob is coming with some red mixed in.
Casey's in Huntingtown. What's going on?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, man.
Good.
Well, I was telling my daughter was there. They had, it was Champions Day last night, so all the local kids who won state championships for their school. My daughter was a softball team, so they were there. So we got there at 5:30. And they took all the kids down to the tunnel. And from 5:30 to 8 o'clock, they sat down there. No food, no drink. I mean, my daughter's texting me like, Dad, I'm about to eat my arm. And there's nothing we can do. We just sat there for 2.5 hours waiting to let the kids go. They wouldn't let the kids go.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, obviously, you'd like to get them fed.
Yeah, you could take them just right around the corner to the whatever it is, the
but
PNC,
then are
the
you
Diamond.
Taking, like, five people at a time, and it's chaperoned, and I don't have a good answer for that. I wish I did.
Yeah, I know that it sucks.
Yeah, and I wish that sounds like a crappy experience. But is that someone's fault, or is that just bad luck? Now, if they're saying you can't leave, you can't go to the bathroom, you can't eat or drink, and you're being held hostage here, okay, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's not that awesome.
I'll bet she could have walked to the bathroom if she needed to. Common sense. I don't know. I don't know how young they were. Are they allowed to go by themselves? Do they have to take them? If she's texting them, I'm guessing she's a little bit older. I have no idea. I can't answer that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's when you are a fan or just a regular person, right? And you encounter an employee of the Washington Nationals, and the fact that they don't know, and they couldn't possibly know, by the way, right, about what the policy decision is going to be in terms of the weather, the timing, whatever else.
They don't know. They
can't
know. Nothing to do with it.
But you can imagine the frustration on the side of the consumer, where it's like, "Hey, I've been down here for 2 hours. Can I pee? Can I go upstairs and get a chicken wing? Is there something I can do?" And nobody knows anything. That's exasperating.
It is. That specific case, which I think is unique, particularly exasperating. I can't, though. I don't have a lot of feel for, like, if I'm sitting in the crowd and I ask an usher when are they going to play, I could be annoyed by that. But that guy shouldn't know when they're going to play.
Or if you're asking them, hey, what's the season, what's the ticket exchange policy, and they don't know, I think that's grounds for being upset.
They should know that. There's no reason they wouldn't know that. I would say if an usher didn't know what the season ticket policy is on a rain delay day, that's their problem. That person needs to be educated on their job better.
Absolutely.
But if you're telling me people are mad, and I know people get mad because they ask an usher, hey, do you know what time? Like, I'll get 15 tweets during every rain delay. What time's the game starting? And I'm sitting in like Bethesda at NBC Sports Washington.
Yeah, I'm reading Jesse Doherty's Twitter like you guys are.
Doherty and Jamal Collier, and it used to be Chelsea. You know, they don't know either. Nobody knows. They're waiting for the head groundskeeper and Mike Rizzo and Major League Baseball and anybody else that's involved, if the game has started or if it hasn't, it's the Nationals' call, to make that decision. And there's an expert in the field who's doing this. But the usher in Section 217 can't help you very much. And I don't know why they should be expecting you.
Right.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Who's the best coach in football not named Bill Belichick? We'll get into that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.